Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Absolute Radio.
Jill Scott, welcome to the Home Time Show.
Oh, it's lovely to be here.
Well, it's great to have you here. Let's just start, before we even get into what we're talking about today, an incredible story where you've come into the studios at Absolute Radio wearing an outfit that you've bought from Duty Free. Just explain.
I told you that and said, please don't say anything.
I couldn't resist.
Yeah. Basically, my flight got cancelled, so I ended up landing like 12 hours later, and then I had to go straight to work. So, yeah, I quickly had to buy an outfit. But do you like it?
Looking all right,
it's
man.
It's a great outfit.
Yeah.
I think it's okay.
I think if I'd have bought stuff, I remember the kids having their suitcase went missing or whatever, and we had to dress them from stuff that we bought in Duty Free. And they look like at the end of Pulp Fiction when they're wearing like Hawaiian shirts and shorts. So you're looking good.
Oh, thank you.
Jill, if you had a pound for every time somebody asked you about the Euros,
yeah,
and every time somebody asked you about the jungle, what's making you richer?
Oh, probably the jungle, actually. Yeah, I think so.
What a series that was that you were in.
Yeah, it was good. I think people forget that I used to play football. That's how I feel. They're like, you're that girl from, and I'm like, the England national team, Manchester City. No, the jungle. But yeah, it was a great series. Obviously, Boy George was in there, and there were so many moments. I'd just be sat next to him and he'd start singing Calm a Chameleon. And wow. Yeah, so many great moments, but it was tough. It is tough in there.
Did you have to eat any weird stuff?
Yeah.
What's the weirdest thing you had to eat?
I think I had to eat like crushed spiders. I tell you which one was horrible, crushed fish eyes. It's like...
That's just normal in East London now, I think. Paid 20 quid for that.
If you take a gulp of seawater, it was like that times 100. Oh, it was horrible.
Fish eyes.
Yeah.
Well, Jill, yeah, let's talk about the new book. It's a fantastic thing. You've kicked off a brand new series in conjunction with British Gas and in partnership with the BWS as well. The Things Football Adventures. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, so I've got a copy of the book here, and when British Gas asked us to get involved, I just thought it was great. There's something about children's books. When I was younger, it was always part of my routine that my mum or my older sister would read us a story. And I've kind of kept doing that with my nephews and my niece. And yeah, so basically it's a book which is showing all the WSL teams, which is great. I think when I was younger, whenever you bought a football book, it was the Premier League and the male players, and they did become my role models. But I think it's great that this is showing the female players. The first book is called Matchday Mix-Up, Man United versus Brighton. And you can read it from the Man United perspective or flip it, and it's the Brighton perspective.
Well, we'll read the Brighton perspective.
But yeah, it's been great to be involved. And as I say, I think for young girls, obviously young boys will enjoy it as well, but for young girls to kind of see their female role models and think, you know what, I want to be a footballer when I'm older, I think it enables them to have that dream.
It's great, isn't it? Because it's great that they're catching up with the literature side of things. My 8-year-old boy... obviously loves all the stereotypical things that, you know, you would do with the Premier League, big Arsenal fan and all that kind of stuff. But we're going to go and watch Brighton Arsenal this weekend, opening weekend of the WSL.
Yeah.
He knows all about Chloe Kelly. He knows all about Alessia Russo. He knows all about Leah Williamson. He's really excited to see them as much as he would be if we're going to watch the men's team in the Premier League. It's great.
That makes us so happy. It really does. And I think that's all we ever wanted for the women's game. We just wanted, obviously, young boys, young girls to follow it. And for young girls to feel like whenever I say about kids getting into sport, I think it's so important. And it's not about a young kid going on to play for England or play for Arsenal or Chelsea or anything like that. It's just getting into sport for that sense of belonging, mental health, physical health. And the fact that, I suppose, when I was younger, there was a lot of girls did drop out because they didn't feel like it was a space that they felt like they belonged in.
Yeah,
belonging in a team's amazing, isn't it? I mean, like the grassroots football club that I do stuff with at the weekends, the girls' teams are growing so much more now.
Yeah.
Like as every season, there's like more girls' teams starting, and like that's increasing those opportunities for them.
Yeah, I'll be walking down the street and I'll get like a dad coming up to us and he's like, I've got a bone to pick with you. And I'm like, oh no, what's he going to say? And he's like, I have to take my son to football on a Saturday and now my daughter on a Sunday. And I'm like, but this is great. It's great. And I think sometimes I do stop and reflect and think, oh, it's taken a long time, hasn't it, just for girls to feel like they can play football. But I feel like any kid should be able to do anything. Like, as long as they're not causing any harm, they should be able to do whatever they want to do. So, yeah, it's fantastic.
Well, but let's talk about the research from British Gas. Yeah. It's really interesting, actually. 97% of adults believe it's important for children to grow up seeing visible female role models. And over a third feel that there simply aren't enough of them in public, you know, as we are today. I mean, I've got three daughters. The 4 and 7-year-old are both, I would describe them as like football curious.
Yeah.
They normally hear me shouting at Everton on the weekends. I don't know how that's kind of got them into it. But the World Cup's kind of helped. But they're kind of very Messi and Ronaldo obsessed.
Yeah.
So how do we start to type of put that onto a track where, you know, women's players, female players have that kind of prominence, like those kind of guys?
Yeah, I think we are getting there slowly. I think the hard thing for women's football is it does get compared to the men's game a lot. And in terms of like when it became professional and stuff like that, there's a massive gap in years. So I think it's just about kind of women's football going on its own journey. And I think it's so important. Do you know what I love to see when you see like Ella Toon doing like a YouTube channel and you get to know her as a person? And I think we're no kids are obsessed with the phones, aren't they, and they're always looking on all these different social media things. But I think if they can get to know the players as people, and I think the good thing about the women's game is there might be a Lioness fan and they'll see Leah Williamson, Kira Walsh, so they'll watch Arsenal when Leah's playing or they'll watch Chelsea when Kira's playing. And there doesn't seem to be, you know, in the men's game you would probably never do that. You wouldn't be like, oh well, he's now playing for Chelsea, I'll watch him on the back of the England game.
Yeah.
You would hate him if it wasn't your team. So I think we are getting there slowly. I do think the visibility of the players is definitely more out there. You see kids with the names on the back of the shirt, and that really makes us smile as well. So I think it's just a process, I do.
We should talk to you about our teams, respectively. I'll do an Arsenal one first of all. WSL is back this weekend.
Yes.
What chance do you think that my team and the current world champions, Arsenal, have of winning the title again?
So in the men's game...
No, WSL.
Oh, the women's. Okay, well, Manchester City won it last year.
I know they did, We need to get back.
Yeah, so I think in the women's game, I do think it'll be between Arsenal, Man City and Chelsea. I do think that. But my answer might have been different if Bunny Shaw hadn't re-signed a contract at Manchester City. I think them having Bunny Shaw just gives them an extra edge. Our goal scoring record is, it's amazing. It's incredible. And we all know whether it's men's football, women's football, if you've got a good striker, it does make a big difference.
Harland. I'm an Everton fan. I've got no idea what you're talking about.
You get rid of strikers, don't you?
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about. Obviously, you played for Everton between 2006 and 2013 and so on. So you know the club. Football can ruin your life, let's be honest with you. We've had a terrible transfer window where everything's gone wrong. We've ended up with if you turn up to a game now, if you bring your kids to an Everton game, they might get a game themselves because we've got that few players. What do you make of that kind of car crash of a transfer window, having played for Everton?
Yeah, you know what? I loved my time at Everton. I really did. I feel like you're going to cry.
I might cry.
That was yesterday.
But it's a real family club, like it really is. And I remember speaking to one of the players not so long ago, and he said that like you do kind of carry the weight of the fans because they care so much. You'll be out in the street and they're coming up to them. And I think it's even when you're around Finch Farm, like the people that work there, the massive, massive fans. And I do think it has been difficult for Everton. Obviously, not so long ago, there was a relegation battle and they came through it. I'm not making this any better, am I?
Yeah, thanks
but
for that.
I think you have a fantastic manager. I really do. And as I say, it's a good club. It's got good fans. Great new stadium as well.
New stadium, isn't it?
Yeah, I was there recently. And I think Everton will be all right. I do think they'll be all right. Yeah, it won't be a relegation.
It makes you feel a bit better.
Yeah.
We see you a lot these days on the Stick to Football podcast.
Yes.
Can I ask about the food, the pastries that are on the table and the juices? It looks like a good feast. Is it real food? And if so, who is snaffling more than their fair share?
That is the first time when people say, I want to ask about stick to football, and they asked about the pastries.
I'll take that as a badge of honour.
Pastry question.
I think I probably eat the most, actually. I think I have a coffee on a morning, and then we'll get through the first record, and I'm definitely eyeing up the croissants. So, yeah, probably me, but it is fresh food. It's lovely.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Can I ask you about Roy Keane? I'm obsessed with Roy Keane. Yeah. Is he, I mean, obviously people know him for his rants and how kind of like spiky he is. Yeah. But behind the scenes, off camera, away from the microphone, do you ever witness moments that you can report right now on Absolute Radio where Roy Keane has been like a fluffy teddy bear?
You know what? I think he's a great guy. And I think when I first started working with him, it was a real pinch me moment for me. I think we've been doing the podcast for Neil, I think this is our fourth year now. And yeah, I was that young girl who had his autobiography, and I looked up to him because he was a feisty midfield player, and that's what I wanted to be like. But I can't speak highly enough of him. I think he's a great guy, and he's really helped me as well. And yeah, I love his rants. He's just so passionate about football. Like, he really cares. And I would have loved to have stepped onto a pitch with him by my side.
I remember you in that Euros final bellowing down, and I think Roy would have been very proud of you that day.
Yeah. That's what I mean. You see what effect your role models can have on you.
Yeah,
so, yeah, I was very competitive when I played, and I think when I reflect on that moment of, I did swear at a German player. I came on the pitch and I played the last 5 minutes of the game plus extra added time, so it was another like 30 minutes, and I remember thinking I knew I was going to retire, and I can't even describe that moment to you. It was like my last 30 minutes of football. I'd played for England for 16 years. I was so desperate for us to win, and I think it was just an outpour of emotion.
What did you think of the men's team in the World Cup and how it all kind of panned out?
Yeah, you know what? I was just a gutted England fan in the end. I really was, because I think first half, we were better than Argentina. I really think we were. And I thought we could have got over the line against them. And I actually believe in a one-off game, we could have given Spain a good game. They're a very good team.
Yeah.
Very good team. And I think we might have had to catch them on an off day a little bit. But what a final that would have been.
Mm,
so
yeah.
I drove home. I remember I drove from Manchester to Sunderland, and I watched the game with my sister. And then it was just Dover, and I was just driving home, and I was just so gutted.
Yeah.
So good. Mm. But you know what? I'm a massive England fan. I think we have some fantastic players. When you're watching Cole Palmer now and you think he didn't even go, that's how good our squad is. So
I want to see more Dan Byrne heading headers into the car park outside the stadium.
Yeah. I wouldn't like to go up for a header with him, but we've got a fantastic team, and I think it's fine margins in tournaments. I played in 10 international tournaments and only got success in one, and it is a process, but I believe the men can definitely win one.
Brilliant.
Another one, 1966.
Well, listen, final thing. So the book, The Things Football Adventures,
yes.
How can people get hold of it? How can people buy it and read it to their kids?
Basically, I did a video narrating the book, so you can get that on the British Gas website. And then if you search British Gas Football Adventures, you'll be able to see on there how you can download the book for free. And then, yeah, there'll be plenty of opportunities to get your hands on a copy.
Jill, it's been lovely having you in on Home Time. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway. Absolute Radio.